Sponson of everyone. Sponson of everyone. Now your dreams have just begun. Sponson of hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. I am Cheryl Catherine Smith.
I'm Kevin Stewart Swain.
I'm Ash Riot.
And we are the Hologram Band, and we are here bringing our topic of the day, which is bullying. Those who can do and those who can't bully. Actually, this topic was decided on by Kevin, actually raised the topic, and then Ash said a big hell yes, let's do it. So it's obviously an issue that is near and dear, not only to their hearts because of their own personal experiences with it, and I too have had bullying in my way, as of probably most of you listening out there have had the experience of bullying. And so we wanted to talk about it and how it's affected our lives and what we think of it and, you know, what the solution is or potential solutions are. So I'm just going to give the floor to Ash and Kevin to just sort of tell you a little bit about where they're coming from with the topic. And we're opening the lines to everybody after they've talked, and I've talked a bit. And we welcome your comments. And the number is
888-815-9756. Please call in.
All right. That was Ash. That was great. You're just like a regular,
you know,
phone call.
I tried. I was going for it.
All right. You know what? We don't normally have Kevin. We didn't have Kevin last time when we were talking about music and metaphysics. So, Kevin, do you want to start maybe just by telling us a little bit about your own thoughts on bullying and your own experience around it?
Okay. So, I was born in England, and we moved to Canada when I was about 3. So school started, about 5? Right away, probably 6 years old, things started happening. People have always said, you know, they look at me and they go, "You look British." So I looked British. They could see something different there. I had a little bit of an accent. I also just kind of pronounced words differently sometimes. There was that. That's what they kind of latched onto. So it was actually, you know, basically a prejudice against being British. That got me physically and verbally abused constantly throughout my whole experience in the education system. It affected my relationships with other people. It affected my education. I was quite bright, although that was, you know, if I do say so myself, and I was never recognized by anyone in a position of authority in the school system. And I just couldn't even, I didn't want to continue with school. I quit at 15 and joined a rock and roll band. And mostly it was because I just couldn't stand it anymore. I just had such a terrible experience with it. Many teachers were aware. A lot of times they weren't much more mature than the students. I felt like they actually kind of supported the bullying in some ways. I had numerous attempts with my parents coming to the school, whatever. Nothing worked, and nobody was really interested in doing anything. And as harsh as it is, it doesn't seem like bullying ever got really looked at until things like Columbine, where some kids actually, you know, went in and really reacted to being bullied. Terrible thing, terrible tragedy, and I think the teachers need to take some responsibility in that, the powers that be in the schools, because it took that till anyone noticed and stopped, you know, started to do something about it. That's what really made people go, "Hey, we need to do something about this." So for now, I guess that's my what I have to say so far.
Thank you for sharing. I wanted to, with you bringing up that that comment about authority, persons in authority not taking responsibility in this case, reminded me of a quote when I was researching for this topic. I found a UK, actually, isn't this cool? Mm-hmm. A UK-based website, and Tim Field, this is his quote that he made in November of 1999. One would not expect a victim of rape to have to single-handedly identify, trace, catch, arrest, prosecute, convict, and punish the person who raped her. Targets of bullying often find themselves doing all of these, whilst those in positions of authority persistently abdicate and deny responsibility. Now, he's a specialist in terms of the workplace bullying, mm-hmm. but to me, school is also the same as workplace. It's kind of the same environment, right? You have a school situation and you've got a workplace situation. It's people that you see every day on a day-to-day basis, pretty much the same amount of time every day. So I think that that rings true here because, you know, how would you as one being bullied, especially as a child, and without having any peer support, did you have friends who were helping you out at the time? Do you remember?
Never. You almost just prayed for someone to be geekier than you so that they would get the brunt of it. You
and
know?
Isn't that sad, too? You know, you're hoping, oh, is there someone else that can sort of deflect this? And, I mean, you certainly don't want that kind of pain to be...
You feel like it's your fault. I mean, you're just convinced that you actually deserve it and that you have no self-worth. I mean, the self-esteem issues are... ongoing.
even at your age now, right?
Oh, definitely.
Well, definitely it does affect us, all right? It affects us for a lifetime. And I just really want to comment on how important it is that people stop saying, well, it isn't me, so it's not my problem. Mm-hmm. And I'm bringing this up again because people in authority will often turn to a blind eye, and if not a blind eye, they'll minimize something so that they don't actually have to follow through and deal with it.
Well, the worst thing to me when I was doing research for this topic, and this didn't even come from doing research, but I figured, like, I found a whole bunch of bullying myths, and it touched upon one that I was going to share, and that's just, it's one phrase that has screwed everything up. And that's, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. It's like, how many adults have said that to you in your lifetime? Or how many times have you heard people in authority, like your parents or uncles or aunts or whatever, saying, oh, toughen up, or, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Names do the most damage, and so does bullying. So when we're kind of giving, you know, people a scapegoat and saying things like that. Like, I know it's about being strong and saying, you know, don't worry about that, whatever. But, you know, names can do the most damage. And just from that one quote, that one thing that's, I mean, a famous kind of, you know, just bypass for teasing. It's like, you know, okay, well, you know, a kid's got to learn to toughen up. A kid's got to learn to just, like, stand on their own 2 feet. That's not the case.
And then oftentimes, though, Ash, too, you have cases where it's both, like in Kevin's case and in yours as well. And you maybe mm-hmm. can share this with the audience. But in Kevin's case, where it was an actual physical attack as well as a mental and an emotional attack.
Oh, exactly. Right? Oh, yeah. It's physical and emotional. I mean, I've had more emotional bullying than physical bullying, but I've had my share of physical bullying. But the emotional is what gets to you. I mean, like from kindergarten, I wasn't bullied so much when I was a kid. I was bullied so much when I was a teenager. And when I was just kind of growing up and really becoming an individual, that's when I got teased for quite a few reasons, mainly just two, but it was pretty rough to be like for a kid to be growing up, especially in a city. I mean, I grew up in Vancouver, like Surrey. And to see the damage around you that's done to anybody who's different, it makes you not want to be. And that's, I think, one of the greatest crimes ever is wanting to fit in for me. I never wanted to fit in. But it kind of made me go, whoa, okay, I totally saw what that happened. Like, my friend, he was at the SkyTrain station, and just because he had green hair and he wore shoes that were pointed or whatever it was, he got beat up so bad he had no teeth left in his face, and they couldn't try the criminals because they had moved to Alberta, so they got off the hook just because a kid was different. Like, you know, I stick out like a sore thumb. I'm covered in tattoos. I'm not the smallest lady, though I'm fine with that. But I mean, you know, I never wanted to be different after I saw that. So it took a lot of courage and stepping out of my shell to go, okay, you know, it's worth it. Because, you know, if I can bypass all of you guys with standing strong and just going for it anyways, then let's see. Maybe it'll be worth it in the end. And voila, I guess it is.
That's the thing I would not trade in a million years now, is that it made me not give a damn whether I fit in. Like, now I'll disagree with as many people as it, you know, I don't care. I in no way have any fear of not fitting in. And that was brilliant. And I think you'll find a huge amount of artists were bullied in school. Yeah, what it means is if you successfully navigate your way through school, you're probably, at least in these parts, I've only gone to school in Canada, you'll come out as that fellow from Scotland would say, beige. Like, you do what everybody else does. Even, you know, you're in your middle-aged and you're buying the same shoes and the same minivan and everything. You're just scared to death of ever doing anything that would make you an individual. Do we need a world populated with people like that?
So, no.
You know, the school system needs to have people that can think outside the box and that are creative and different individuals to come through.
Well, they'll help. Like, the ones who actually stand tall and decide to be, well, quote-unquote, a sore thumb, are the ones who are going to help the other individuals.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, just like, I guess I kind of, in a way, in the place where I was, in the school I was, I went to a Christian school. I was kind of, and I don't say this with ego, a pioneer in a way, because, I mean, I was getting tattoos. I was, you know, into punk rock, and everybody else was going to the Michael W. Smith concert and you know, wearing buns in their hair. And not that those are wrong. Buns can be pretty cool. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't conform. And so, you know, I get kids coming up to me who, oh, you know, hey, I really like this, you know, what you're doing or what you're listening to. Will you make me a mixtape or whatever? Like, just by stepping out, you're going to help people. So if you're listening and you're going, okay, you know, I really kind of need a little bit more courage to step out there, step out there. It's so worth it.
Another thing, too, I was thinking, because I don't, if you got through school and you fit in, I'm not saying that you're all beige. Be careful here. There was people that stood out to me that actually fit in, that were so successful in school, but they weren't mean-spirited, they weren't afraid, they were individuals. There were some outstanding people that were actually cool.
Yeah, that's true.
And I can remember a few of them being really kind to me, and I was really impressed with them. So it's not tarring everyone with the same brush.
No, exactly.
But there was a lot. You know, having said that, there was a lot of people in that school system that were boring, scared people that were just had no courage to express themselves whatsoever, and screw them.
Okay, so that wow. I was just going to say, we're having some latent psychological expressions happening here, even in adulthood. But I need to kind of interject here, because I think it is important to recognize we're basically talking between the two of you right now about your school situations, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I'll bring in adult bullying, because that's
harsh,
my own experience.
Too.
But I also wanted to say, you're talking about beige people or whatnot. And I mean, I feel that there's room in the world for beige people, but there's not room in the world for hatred.
Yeah,
and that's where bullying is fundamentally, it comes from fear.
Mm-hmm.
So someone is so afraid, and then so they act out, and a lot of it acts, you know, comes as a result of hatred. And it's not to say beige is bad,
no.
Because we need beige. If we were all like us on this planet, could we really handle it?
You know,
come
what?
On.
Some of my best friends are beige as they come. You know, like, you gotta, seriously,
it's about balance.
You need the balance, black, white,
right?
And gray.
But it's not about hatred. And this is what we're addressing. And I just, Nietzsche said something, and I want to bring this up because this is so poignant with regards to Kevin, what you were saying. The surest way to corrupt a youth is to instruct him to hold in higher esteem those who think alike than those who think differently.
Wow.
Now, that being said, beige can think differently.
Oh, completely.
Beige doesn't mean one modality or way of thinking. And we're just kind of using colors because we can kind of use a rainbow. Mm-hmm. And, hey, you're pink and I'm purple and Kevin's mm-hmm. blue and, you know, Katie over there is beige, right? And we all make this great rainbow.
I was just thinking about someone named Katie. And you
really?
Said, yeah, because I was like, oh, Katie in high school.
Isn't that something? Then, highly intuitive. Go figure.
But you know what? Seriously, like, that's cool. The whole beige thing and the whole, you know, just like, there are so many people, like, we can't be on this side going, oh, we're outsiders, we're better than you, because we'd be just like the beige, some of the beige people that are saying, holy, look at those freaks.
Right?
Like, yeah. We gotta be together here. No yeah. sects.
Yeah, but it's important that we express the damage mm-hmm. that bullying does. And it's hard not to become hateful when you're treated in such an abhorrent way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, a lot of people get surprised when people who are bullied or abused become bulliers and abusers.
Mm-hmm.
And why are we surprised? If there's been no solution or no healing,
mm-hmm.
how can we expect someone who's been bullied and hasn't had any mm-hmm. kind of, you know, sense of freedom from it, where are they going to go?
Exactly.
How, you know, it's not that easy just to say, oh, I'm going to love you no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying earlier, today's Easter Sunday, and Jesus was indeed bullied, was he not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about the story around what he endured. And my experience with bullying has a lot to do with sexual harassment, actually, because I've had situations where men have bullied me sexually, and it's just as upsetting. I mean, I even lost a job. I had a boss who was sexually harassing me, and I was a single parent at the time, and that job mattered to me, and because I said no, I lost the job. And, I mean, there's other instances, too, but that's just the one that came up today, and I'm mm-hmm. kind of thinking about, well, and even in sixth grade, I wasn't so different. See, this is the difference between my upbringing and your upbringing, both of you, and in my experiences. I kind of blended in, but I was the quiet child because having lost my dad at a young age, I kind of got pretty introverted, and I guess I was pretty enough, and I kind of blended in enough, you know what I mean, that I didn't cause a lot of waves, or I wasn't so different, or I wasn't really standing out as being so different, kept to myself. But there was an instance when I was actually considered one of the popular girls in school, and there was another girl who was one of the popular girls in school, and we kind of, you know, had a great camaraderie. We're the two girls that, you know, aha, you know, you're in grade six, right? And it's all, boys are pushing me in the bushes, they like me, that kind of thing. And then when she turned on me,
oh, man.
Oh, my God, was I bullied.
Oh, no.
But that's my kind of experience, yeah. You know, it's not what I look at. What you went through, Kevin, and that, Ash, you shared stories with me, and you haven't really talked about them, but they're pretty in depth. How horrific these instances are, and how damaging, and how destructive. You know, just a word or a blow to the face, or you know, it can get worse when you've got gay bashing.
Well, that's probably the thing that's affected me most. I'll say it. Like, I mean, it's probably the thing that's definitely, like, I mean, I've dealt with it a lot with even youth groups and working with youth and stuff. And I was telling Cheryl the other day about this boy who had jumped off the bridge in New West because every day at school he was bullied about being gay, but he wasn't. He had nothing against anybody who was gay, but he just, I remember his mom telling me, he said to his mom, he says, Mama, I don't care. It wouldn't matter to me if I was gay. It's just that I'm not, and they're bullying me about it. He goes, I wouldn't care. Being gay doesn't matter. It's just that they're bullying me. And he said, I would gladly take it if I was gay. He said, just to, you know, because I'd tell them they were right and to leave me alone. And his mom is the sweetest woman. And I remember being at one of his benefits with my organization and just hearing the story, how bullying can cause somebody to take their own life. That's ridiculous. And how many different ways they're bullying now. And honestly, one of the worst cases of bullying now is cyberbullying. Even on YouTube, on every single video, there is a fight. Have you seen that? Almost every single video that allows comments it gets into a fight, whether or not, you know, somebody in the video is wearing an orange sweater and somebody doesn't like that. And then the next person says, well, I like orange, you suck. And then they're like, yeah, well, your mama sucks. You know, it's like, it gets so escalated so fast. And I mean, I honestly say once there is internet peace, there will be world peace. Because it is so, it's insane.
Most of these assaults, too, whether they're verbal or physical, are in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
They're very rarely something. So I believe, and it's not my theory, but the two important things to anyone are your family in that relationship and your tribe relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We still are tribal. And if you're in school and in front of your tribe, you're physically and verbally humiliated on a regular basis, you feel like you have no place in this world. It's horrible. And the beige comment, by the way, it's Billy Connolly. So if you want to, he's the one that came up with that, not me. but another comment that I always found really interesting was Woody Allen. And he'd say, I wouldn't want to belong to a club that would have me as a member. And I thought it was the best description of where your self-esteem gets to is, you're convinced that you're worthless in front of your tribe, and then you grow a bit older and you start to have some positive things. A tribe of some sort accepts you, a girl accepts you, whatever. And you have this self-loathing that you wouldn't want to belong to a club that have you as a member. If this girl or this band or this whatever wants you to be part of them, you're so scarred, you kind of think, well, you're ridiculous. I can't. Anyone that would think that I was good enough to be with is an idiot, and you get aggressive. And I just left a trail of damage that way for years, and also just felt kind of cheated out of an education. Someone that, you know, I really didn't feel like I could continue in the education system, but I would love to have learned. I'd love to have gone further, you know.
And we want to just give the call a number because we want to hear your stories. We want to hear how bullying has affected you or any thoughts you might have on it. Anything that you might, you just want to share. So please call in. The number is 888-815-9756. One more time, 888-815-9756. Call me. Please call us, okay?
Call me. Don't be afraid. Just call me. We
call
won't
me.
Follow you. We promise. Getting back to Tim Field, and one thing on this site, too, is that Tim Field claims that half the population are bullied. So that means that half of you are indeed bullied, whether it's bullied in the workplace, bullied in your school environment, bullied even by your family, maybe bullied by your friends. And he also quoted this, "Nothing can prepare you for living or working with a sociopathic serial bully. It is the most devastating, draining, misunderstood, and ultimately futile experience imaginable. Now, I love that. Mm-hmm. Bullying is futile. It is truly futile. What does it serve? It's all about power. Now, the first quote that I did is talked about a woman, a victim of rape, and it sort of equated a victim of rape having to, you know, go through the whole process of getting her rapist to justice is the same with bullying, doing it single-handedly. And I relate to that because of my own personal story around that. And I wanted to just say that the futility of anything, any kind of bullying, any type of aggression towards another person, whether it's rape, bullying, whatnot, mm-hmm. it's all about, ultimately, about self-hatred, mm-hmm. and it's about power, and it's about control. And I really feel that a lot of this is self-love issues, and you're mm-hmm. talking, Kevin, about how even being bullied caused you not to have as much self-love. It's almost like crawling out of this kind of hole. Someone has told you if someone tells you for long enough that you're a piece of crap, mm-hmm. you know, and treats you that way, and your tribe doesn't even defend you, mm-hmm. what do you have left? No wonder we have. I know the story of that young man. He was only 14 years old,
yeah.
and he jumped off a bridge and took his own life,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he put rocks in his backpack so he'd sink.
I mean, how I remember that story, and I remember I actually cried because as a mother of a son,
oh, yeah.
I felt it.
Well, I mean, look at how much, like you were saying about, you know, what the own self-hatred and stuff. I mean, look at how much is there, like, a bully even is in denial. I mean, schools and even youth groups that I've had to work for, they've banned the phrase, "That's so gay." they've had to, because so many people have been damaged just by that one sentence. And a lot of people think, oh, whatever, it's just like saying that's so stupid. Well, thanks for equating gay with stupid. Like, thanks. Good job, people. Like, it once meant happy, okay?
It still does.
Yeah, exactly.
It still
exactly.
can mean happy.
It still does. You know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, when did it become stupid? Like, come on, right? So, I mean, think about it. Like, that's stupid. But what I'm saying is, like, look at how much denial is in bullying as well. Like, I mean, you know, think about what you say. Like, you know, if without a tribe, without a family that's supporting you, and you hearing the same stuff repetitively and trying to figure out who you are, even if you're an adult, and you know, the bullying is almost worse when you're an adult. Say you're in a workplace. Say you're somewhere where you need to kind of put up and shut up. And it somehow makes that okay.
So I would say, this is just from my own personal experience, and please note that this is just me sharing my own life experience. I would say that the best way out of a situation where someone tries to control you or attempts to control you, and I'm not talking about victimization where you actually have no power in the moment, whether you're being overcome by a weapon or whatever's happening in that situation. But generally, a lot of times people will use power and control when they think they can take something away from you, or they think that they have put you in a position where you can't get out of it. They've kind of cornered you. Mm-hmm. And maybe even a school situation, it's all about ostracization, right? Mm-hmm. To be ostracized. I'm the cool kid, and I'm going to make you feel smaller, and that, you know, because I feel so ineffective, mm-hmm. and I feel so nothing. And who knows, maybe that kid's getting beat up at home and has an alcoholic father and mother.
Exactly.
But the fact is that he's taking it out on another child because it's about I want to feel better about myself, so I'm going to demean you. What if we were to look at each other as reflections of each other? You know, let's talk a little bit about mm-hmm. solutions here, Kevin, because if you were in the situation as an adult now witnessing a child such as yourself, if you were to go back in time and now you're growing up, Kevin, and you're witnessing little Kevin being beat up for how he looks or how he talks or for being different, what would you do differently?
Well, I wouldn't change a thing as far as I'm glad it all happened now. So I'm glad that I don't even understand the concept of adult bullying, because I would not stand to be bullied now, and they have that kind of strength from what I went through. I've had a few workplace things, but I definitely stand up for myself and deal with it quickly. So it's kind of a hard question to answer, because... And anyway, I want to say too, I forgive anyone that bullied me. We were all just a bunch of kids that were scared. The blame, if I have any, is with the adults and that are supposed to keep you safe. You're going from your family to a school system. You need to be protected. You need to invest in these kids, that all kinds of kids come out of this school. It's the future. That's mm-hmm. my problem. And these wimpy teachers that mm-hmm. were barely more mature than the students in most cases, and I've actually witnessed teachers bullying and beating up kids in my presence many times. I've seen some of those abominable excuses for teachers. That's where I have the issue. We were a bunch of kids. Mm-hmm. We just needed to be protected and educated, and you know, that'll stop that bullying.
So my point again is, You what you're saying, okay, I'm just going to be concise here just so I understand. What you're saying is that you wouldn't change it because you wouldn't be who you are today mm-hmm. had it not happened. But that being said, you're also saying that it's the adult's responsibility. So if you were to have that experience now, would you not want to save that child from that kind of pain as an adult? Would you not intercede in some way?
I suppose what I want to do is create a safe environment where everybody felt free to be individuals, and so that I wouldn't have had to go through that to become who I am today. I'm really glad to not be afraid to be different, but there's better ways of doing it. So yeah, I guess if I was in that position, I would want to create a much better atmosphere of education and safety, so that a lot of colorful kids could come out of the system. I mean, we need every kind of people, like what Cheryl's saying. We need every kind of people in this world, but there's just way too many of a certain kind of people coming out of this bad environment. I don't know if it's better now, because I know it's getting so PC now to be upset and worried about bullying because of the Columbines and stuff, that I don't know if it's swung too far the other way. I don't know what the school system's like now. I don't know if it's working. I don't know if it's safer to be a kid now. But crazy as it sounds, I think you got to say kind of something good came out of these school uprisings, because it made people say it's time to do something about bullying.
Well, they tried exhausting every angle of blame, even for the Columbine. Like, whose fault is it? It's like, you know, they even blamed Marilyn Manson. Like, come on.
But not the teachers that were around.
Yeah, but not the teachers? Like, come on. Like, blame an insanely intricate man who talks about, you know, finding spirituality in yourself and not a god. Sure, I blame him for people shooting.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds real, real smart. Like, come on, people. Like, could it be the teachers? Could it be parents? Could it be them? It's like when somebody does something wrong, they're first to point fingers at somebody else. And I understand that those boys were bullied and it wasn't fair. But at the same time, when bullying happens, it's like, come on, take some accountability. Take some accountability for whatever you do, instead of just pointing blame somewhere else. I mean, look at, like, all the people, even when... Like, in my high school or elementary school, whenever anybody was bullied, it would be, okay, well, just you bully him back, push him back, call him a name back. It's like, that's just really feeding fire with fire. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, if you were Gandhi, you would do nothing.
Exactly.
Or if you were
with
Jesus,
everything.
You know, turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the cyberbullying because I've actually gone cruised YouTube. We've purposely denied people putting comments on our page because of this, because we don't want to, you know, incite anything between people. And I've seen other comments, you know, on different videos and go, what's wrong with these people?
Oh, yeah.
But I equate it to the same thing I see with road rage.
Oh, totally.
It's almost as if we suddenly don't have any kind of responsibility once we are almost nameless or faceless. So we go behind a car in the wheel, you know, wheel behind the car, we got this windshield, and suddenly we feel like we're faceless. We can do all sorts of stuff. We can cut people off. We can give them the finger. You know, we're not accountable. I don't know what it is. Suddenly you put a car in front of you and you lose sight of the impact and the harm that you're causing. Mm-hmm. Same thing goes with cyberbullying. You're not accountable. You could be anybody. You could be some, you can create some kind of persona. And so we need to reconnect to the essence of each of us. And we need to reconnect to the fact that we are definitely connected.
And that we are energy. So even when we're nameless and we're putting out our energy that tends to be horrible sometimes online, like, you're still going to do damage even though your name is like, I like cats 444. You know? Like, you know, I see so much of it where even on like guitar sites, I'm teaching one of my students or something a guitar tab, and we're distracted because we're looking underneath at all the comments, and some guy goes, that wasn't a B, that was a B flat. What are you, a moron? You suck. And then the kid's like, I don't know, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And then the guy's like, well, you better learn better next time. And then the next guy's, you were being such an idiot to that kid, you stupid moron. And, like, except the words were way worse. Like, it escalates from one thing to the next about the most silly things.
You know, I'd say it is true colors. I'd say these people don't have the confidence to be the pricks they are, and if you're face-to-face and true colors are coming out, this is their true self.
So what if our true selves are indeed black and white? What if there's the yin, the yang, the dark, the light, right? Mm-hmm. And those of us who choose the light, we want to stay in light more than exercise the darkness that each of us have, right? And each of us are capable of having. So where do we go? To that, you know, where, again, this is about solution.
Back to the beginning, these are the same bullies from school, but they've learned through socialization to not behave that way. So they only behave that way now when they're anonymous.
So then I think what's happening is that we're ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
We're each ignorant, thinking that our actions don't cause any harm.
Yeah.
Because when we're actually doing this kind of action, we're harming the other person. But what if we were cognizant and recognized that we're actually causing harm to ourselves? I think most people, they have no idea. They think that they can, you know, push, hurt, cause harm to another, and it has nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're actually hurting themselves. So if we could kind of shake this world up a little bit and go, you know what, when you say something hateful, you're actually doing that to yourself.
We could do a radio show about it. Hey, Cheryl was bullied. You were cyber bullied a short while ago by a...
I won't mention
the name of the band from Vancouver that sounds like a real wimpy Nickelback.
Uh-oh. But, nice one.
But a poor man's Nickelback. But anyway...
Wow.
That's stepping out there.
Yeah.
I'm just protecting
I was cyber bullied.
And I'm just kidding.
It's interesting. I unfriended this particular friend. He's a musician. And it's interesting that he didn't even understand what he was doing. And just that, you know, that sense of, I don't like to use the word rape too casually, but that sense of being dishonored, disrespectful, disrespected, just like you don't even matter, and that someone who doesn't even know you can treat you in this way. Even, I mean, people that you know shouldn't be treating you that way either, but someone who can actually just sort of, you know,
disregard
go on.
You like
so
that.
Then I had that experience on Facebook. So I'm sure people have had that experience on Twitter, on Facebook. Oh, even in Twitter. I had a woman who had no idea who I was. She made a comment like she thought I was I was lying. She actually accused me of lying because I had done the Follow Friday or something, or thank you for the retweets, and I put the names. And she said, they never did that. And I'm going, who are you? And she was wrong. She was actually a spiritual teacher.
Ooh, go for it, spiritual teacher lady.
And that kind of reaction totally, honestly, blew me away and threw me off because I'm going, what is up? Why is it that people are so concerned with what people that they don't even know are doing, and actually, I believe, projecting what they're doing onto others and then accusing them of their own actions, their own defects, their own darkness, right? You know that saying of if you accuse someone of cheating on you,
then
chances are they're the ones who are cheating on you.
Exactly.
Because they're reflecting outwards, right? So if we kind of look at bullying in this way too, it's a reflection. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean it's acceptable because it's not.
Exactly.
So we have a caller. We have Aaron online too. Hello, Aaron.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy Easter, Aaron.
I don't know. I just want to say, well, a couple things. First of all, I think bullying is extremely unfortunate byproduct of society as we are. Just from the example, I just spoke with three girls who went from high school girls, wear their makeup, whatever, went to Nicaragua for 10 dates with their school and lived with a family lived within groups of two with families. And they said these people had the absolute bare minimum, sometimes less than the bare minimum. But in school, all the kids were happy. There weren't any cliques. Everybody was just living life, doing what you have to do. So that's one thing I want to say. And then my own experience is I had a freaking hell of a time with bullying.
I remember.
Yeah, it was horrible, actually. And I went in grade 8, and people, like, for some reason, like, I just became a target of everybody, and people that didn't even hang out together were all calling me the same names, and just, like, just ridiculous, and it seriously has affected. I am almost 27 years old, and I still feel effects from that, like, in the fact after I switched high schools, and I became just locked inside myself, and I wouldn't be able to say anything I said. I felt that I wasn't worthy enough to say things that I felt from inside to people, because for some reason all these people would band together, and even though they didn't know me. And I mean, I know that's an issue with themselves, but it's affected me to this day.
Well, it's really hard when you're trying to develop and even trying to just like figure stuff out yourself and just trying to actually expand from the cocoon of high school, where everybody seems in high school to think that that's life, like forever. And they don't realize that once you get out of high school, everything changes and they're not the big fish in the pond anymore.
Well, it's like the thing is like I went from elementary school and like I was like totally an individual, and I did what I wanted and wore what I wanted and didn't fall into these stupid little trends, which goes back to this whole friggin' modern bullshit. But anyway, and I was, and I felt like everybody around me did everything they could to tear me away from being the person who I was, which, I mean, again, is, you know, their issue rather than mine. But I mean, it's like almost been this like humongous step backwards in my life to a place that I never really was and got sent because of this bullying, and then had to kind of like work my way out of the storm, out of the bullshit. And, you know, I would be completely happy if that never happened to me, because, I mean, I don't think I'm a stronger person because of it, because I was strong before, and it weakened me in a way. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, this is me, this is my life, these are my experiences, and that's that. But, I mean, I wouldn't, no, I'm not grateful for that shit. Sorry, I keep swearing.
Well, that's the honesty, Aaron, is that it weakened you, and how could it not? Because no matter how strong we are as people, it's like, you know, water on a rock. Eventually it just erodes. I mean, a rock is super strong, but when you get enough of it over a period of time, it's going to erode, because we're social people. We're social beings. We need each other. We need love. And when we feel that all we're getting is hatred and judgment, I mean, of course it's going to weaken us. It's going to weaken the strongest of us. And this is, again, what leads many of us even to addictions and whatnot too, right? Because we just want to hide. We want to hide. Why not?
It's also another tribe that you can belong to, right? It's
a new tribe. All right, goodbye.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Aaron, because, I mean, it really helps to hear.
Thank you. Kevin, say what you said.
I was just saying that another reason why it can lead to addiction, what I found in that next chapter of my life, is that I found a new tribe, and this tribe accepted me. The drug tribe, and
they're all wounded souls.
Yeah, so I'm right in there, right? You know, because I haven't felt this sense yet in my life, and that was that kind of led me to the next stage. But I'm sorry to hear that she still feels wounded. I never really thought of that. I kind of been, you know, in my own experience, I found that it made me stronger. So again, even more so if I was in the position to do something when this was happening to Erin, I would hope that I would be able to protect her in some way.
Exactly. And that's what I was getting at, right? Mm-hmm. It's us, you know, again, being able to get to that vulnerability and express ourselves where we have been hurt and get to a place of being able to be healed again. Okay, we have Ryan on line 2 from Canada.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey. How's it
Hey,
going?
Ryan.
Hey. Great show, by the way.
Ryan, are you there?
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
All right, I guess we lost
Try
Ryan.
Again, Ryan. Try again.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think one thing that's really preserved you, Kevin, because I know you, and I've known you for 10 years, over 10 years, is it's just almost kind of an over, you know, damn it, you guys didn't get me nothing. But there has to be a vulnerability in there too, does there not?
Oh, there's a lot
it's not just a, you know, F you world, right? We have to find a balance. We have, because otherwise we are actually harmed. You know, what they targeted us for has in fact happened. Mm-hmm. So we have to get beyond that. We have to get beyond the pain, get beyond the harm, you know, bless the situation, say I am who I am because of it. That's part of my experience.
Oh, yeah.
I'm grateful for it. Not that I'm going to put up with it anymore, but to move forward and move on, and not to have this, you know, damn the world and it's me against the world attitude. We have to come back to love, and we have to come back to integration, right?
So Ryan is back. Hey, Ryan.
Hey.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's Ash here, and Cheryl, and Kevin, and we are very excited that you called in. So what do you have to say on bullying?
Well, I myself was bullied a lot as a kid. I grew up in a very poor area of Winnipeg. And so bullying really has, I know for me it's impacted me as an adult, and then also I'm a queer guy. So that's something that's also played into that, and bullying a bit as an adult. But I found that while the effects of that have carried on into adulthood, and it's contributed to my own addictions, I've also, I like what was said earlier, what Erin was saying about, in terms of, you know, when she was talking about how, in a sense, it weakens you. For me, I don't regret it happening, because for me, it's made me stronger. It's really... I mean, it's obviously not something that should happen to anybody, but thankfully, in the end, I was able to take that, turn it around, and, you know, apply it to different areas of my life, you know, when I may have felt put down. I just was able to somehow along the way become a survivor and be like, okay, well, I'm not going to let all these other events get me down as an adult when I'm told no, you know, whether it be for shows or whatever. But, you know, for me, it's given me a sense of perseverance because I'm really stubborn. So, you know, so it's, I don't know, like, tell me I can't do something and I'm going to find a way to do it. And in fact, I've had some healing too, because some of the kids that I went to school with, they've actually come back and apologized to me.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've said that it's actually resonated with them all these years, and those visions have stuck with them all these years. And I can see that it's actually impacted them a lot more than it's impacted me, you know.
Wow, that's a really good point, actually.
Yeah, like, because there are people out there that, you know, their conscience hits them when they grow up, you know. And, so, I mean, I was able to forgive some people. It doesn't take away from some of the resounding effects, but it still is. It was very powerful for me, and I think that would be a good message for bullying survivors out there, to know that eventually these bullies do grow up and they do regret what they did and they do live with it, and it does haunt them from day to day. You know, so I don't know if that brings some healing to somebody or what, but you know, now, you know, growing up, it does get better. People do, you do make friends, you know, you do see that a lot of these people, you know, they end up growing up and having these regrets. And most of the people that made fun of me are working in factories now, and I'm working on my dreams. So it's, you know, there's something positive that can be taken.
No, I know where you're coming from. I just wanted to say that, what I thought that I did get from the experience, is to be clear on it, is now if I want to do something, it's not a concern to me whether other people are doing it, whether I need to be afraid that it'll be considered different, whether someone might ridicule me. I just have that fear has just been beat out of me, so to speak, and that's what I really like. I actually enjoy, probably even to the point of maybe just being contrary for the sake of it, doing something that people want to ridicule. It's like, bring it on, because
yeah.
you know that's my favorite part of
being
beaten on for 15 years.
Well, and as a musician and stuff, I mean, I'm sure, you know, you were talking about shows and stuff. You are a musician. I mean, that's the really good quality to have as a musician, to have kind of gone through that, being in not necessarily just the public eye, but in the eye. I mean, it's tough to basically have the critical eye at you all the time, whether, you know, it's people who are going to your shows for the right reasons and wanting to see you, or, you know, going to school to a place where, you know, you're not on a stage. So you've kind of paid your dues in a way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, it is. I like that. Yeah. So.
Well, thank you, Ryan. You rock.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, Hologram loves you.
Thank you.
Love you guys. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. I just wanted to mention, too, I don't know how many people know, but Eminem in high school was beaten into a coma as a student.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's. I think if you read any biographies by famous people, you're going to find such a huge amount of them. And I think you had a really good point there, Ash. It's scary to go on stage and think that the audience is going to turn on you. But if you've got that kind of upbringing and tougher skin because you went through that for years, you're kind of like, again, screw you. This is good. You're stupid.
Wow.
The other thing that... The other thing I wanted to say is I need to get my anger under control.
Yeah.
Yes, we know that.
We do.
The other thing is the concept, and this is big in punk and stuff. I definitely didn't come up with this either. And, you know, all human beings are beautiful, and at the core, I love everybody. Now, just to go past the core a little bit here, the whole concept of sheeple, lemmings, whatever.
Sheeple.
This is... this is what I don't like. This is when I see people that maybe were conditioned in school to be so afraid of having an opinion that's different, that basically I don't know what I think because I haven't asked anybody else yet. These big groups of people, too big because that's how they got through school, are really directing a lot of things that happen in this world, whether it be important things, you know, politics, music, entertainment, whatever. These people that are living in a fear-based, weak sort of state are banding together and kind of being a majority. And we survivors need to bring some color back in, and we need to also help these people that are feeling remorse or whatever. We just let's get more color in the world. Let's get more individual.
How
thinking.
About more love?
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about you talking yourself as a survivor. I prefer the word thriving as opposed to surviving, because surviving to me still feels almost victim, because it doesn't feel like it's celebrating your life. It feels like life is just something to be endured. And unfortunately, when we're treated really poorly, we feel like life is only something to be endured. And how many times have you heard people say, oh, I'm getting by, or, oh, you know, I guess it's as good as it gets, or on and on, like all this kind of negative around their own existence. So how do we bring even these people who are sheeple to recognizing their own beauty? Because ultimately, this isn't about us against them. This is about us against us.
Yeah, we're all this. We're all,
you know,
yeah.
And it's about seeing beyond. Mm-hmm. It's about celebrating who we are. It's about bringing hatred out of it and love into it. And I'll never, like, I'm going to go back to my little, you know, grade six thing that, mm-hmm, I told you about. Her name was Carol F. And
Carol F.
See how I remember?
Because, I know.
You know what? But the thing that baffled me is that here I was one day, you know, one of the most popular girls in grade six, me and Carol F., right? And the next day I was shit.
Yeah.
And what I learned there is how quickly people turn.
Oh,
and
yeah,
how quickly people's, and that's why what I've learned in my own lifetime is just to trust ultimately myself, always myself and my connection to the greater good, whatever you want to call that, force, higher power, and stay in that.
Oh, yeah. People can change before you, like, and just one thing can change them. I remember this girl, Karen Mendy.
See?
And I just loved her. And you know what? She told me she never wanted to see me again. I went to the library and read the Bible with her at lunch. And then she didn't want to talk to me ever again.
So and we have Carol Epp online too right now? Just kidding.
Oh. Carol Epp online too. Carol, hey, it's been what? How many years?
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, Cheryl. You know what, Carol? That's okay. And you know, Ryan, the cool thing about forgiveness, when someone asks for forgiveness, you know who gets the benefits? The one asking.
Yeah.
It's interesting because you did mention that a little bit about people coming to you and saying, hey, man, I'm sorry, right? I'm sorry. Yeah, they live with it. And that's the bottom line. That's the truth. So who gets the freedom? They get the freedom. Not to say that you don't get some too, but they're getting the freedom. So when bullies or people that know that they've done wrong, I mean, I've done 12 steps. I've been a part of a 12-step program, and that's a step 9, right? It's
I still got to write mine. I haven't written my steps.
And so, you know, step 9, who gets the freedom? We do, because I get the chance to say, you know what? I really messed up there. I really messed up. I let you down. And, you know, of course, the person hearing it, mostly what's their reaction? I knew it, right?
Yeah.
Because they know the part of themselves, the highest part of themselves already knows that they were wronged. And you're just basically verifying it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you this, many people have done me wrong and huge wrongs, and they have not asked me for forgiveness,
mm-hmm,
and I've forgiven them anyway. Because I need that freedom. I'm not going to, mm-hmm, wait till, you know, the guy that raped me,
yeah,
comes and says, I'm sorry, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to happen.
No, you need to get that off your chest without...
Well, yeah, because I ultimately am the one, if I'm hanging on to it, I'm the one who suffers.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it doesn't mean that we tolerate a world where there's rapists and murderers and bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how do we get away from that? Is it something that we say, oh, it is what it is, that's just the way of the world, that's what we have to live with? Or do we actually do something about it? And it starts with us. individually, right?
It has to start with us. And you know what? I want to give this number out just before the end of the show now. The number for the kids' help phone, it's not strictly just for kids or whatever. You can get in touch with many other organizations through there, even depending on your location. And the number is 1-800-668-6868. Call in, even if you just need somebody to talk to, because, I mean, they're really great. I mean, that number, I memorized it before I even saw it today because of hearing the commercials so much when I was growing up. But seriously, I mean, if somebody out there you even know, maybe not even listening to the show, you just know somebody who could use that number, give it to them. 1-800-668-6868.
Thank you, Ash. Is there anything you'd like to close with, Kevin? Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I guess that as far as loving, you know, loving other people, someone that's living a life that's kind of muted and constricted because of fear and because that's the way they learn to get by, to not, you know, stand out. You got to feel for those people that aren't getting the most out of life, that aren't enjoying. I love my life right now, and I'm really enjoying the color of it, and I wish that for everybody. So I forgive everybody that bullied me.
That's awesome.
Me too.
It doesn't mean we forget.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean we condone. That's the difference, right? It's not condoning it. It's not forgetting it. But it's allowing ourselves the freedom to move on and move past it and to see the bigger picture, to go, mm-hmm. Hey, it made me who I am.
Yeah.
No regrets, yeah. Right? No regrets. Having complete faith and trust in your own life path.
Yeah.
Ash, want to share anything in closing?
I just want to say, like, basically, instead of getting even more into the bullying thing, just to quick close up, that, I mean, the greatest way to produce any kind of change whatsoever is not through fighting, it's through love. So, I mean, if you can just love somebody, even if they're screwing you up by bullying you or, you know, just making life hell for you, don't let them make your life hell. Just like when you actually can recycle that hatred back into love, I mean, you're getting that love and you're sending that love out. So, you just keep loving. Keep loving even when it just painfully hurts to love. Just love.
And I just want to say this too again. It's not about loving that it causes you pain.
No.
We can love from afar, everyone. There's a lot of, you can let go of a relationship. You can love someone from afar. But if it's causing you harm, if someone is hurting you and intentionally hurting you, then let go of the relationship. Ask for help. And then love from afar, because it really ultimately is about self-love. And that's where it all starts. So we love you. That being said, Hologram, our next single is coming out.
Say.
When, Ash?
May 1st, Joy No Longer Divided, our next single. Please, please go on iTunes and buy it. I really like it. And it's just going to be great. Join the love revolution.
That's our next song after that. It's called The Fusion, and Kevin's working on the in the studio right now. We've done most of the, I think we've laid all the record. We've recorded all the parts. And you're just working the magic, right, Kev?
We may possibly have recorded all of the parts.
That means there might be more time in the studio with that one.
Yeah, here's a little like preview of the song. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. There. That's look for that. It's going to be so good. I'm very excited. And thank you to our MySpace people who check us out on MySpace. Thank you to the YouTube people. Thank you to the Facebook people and the Twitter people and the people that don't have internet. Thank you to everyone.
We do truly love you. We encourage you to love yourselves, to love each other, and to kiss trees. And watch our newest vlog. Ash and I just did it today, Easter Sunday. It's up on YouTube at youtube.com/hologrammusic. Until the next 2 weeks, know that we are here, you are there, and we are everywhere.
We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.